You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500.
The amazing Kate Casey.
Welcome back to another week's episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. This week, I found out that it's the 11-year anniversary of the first episode of Real Housewives of Orange County, which is crazy if you think about all the seasons that they've been able to do. I remember it very clearly. I would work out in the gym of my apartment building and watch every episode and was immediately sucked in, became so obsessed with the show. And it reminded me of the fact that I loved to read my mom's yearbook and to read all the stories in it and find out like what happened at the reunions. It's sort of the same thing. Like, I've always loved stories about people's lives. So I love The Real Housewives because it sort of like sucked you in and you can learn about every aspect of their life. So it's hard to believe 11 years has gone by. And it also made me think about this show that they used to have called High School Reunion, where they would take a high school from the middle of America and bring people back like 15 years later, and they would stay in a hotel or like some rented home in Hawaii for a week or two and reconnect old loves. It was awesome, that show. I wish they would bring that back. So that's fun. This week, I'm really excited because I tracked down Jason Waller from Laguna Beach in the Hills. And I think he's got some really interesting information about what it's like to be on a reality show as a 17-year-old and how that may have played into his addiction issues and, you know, where he is today. He's married and has a baby on the way. So it's really, really sweet. I also tracked down Heather McDonald in Thousand Oaks to make her watch the season premiere of Dancing with the Stars. It's back on. And then we talked about what was an unbelievable episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills last night. So I know you guys are going to love that. And then Cara Berry made, I made her watch The Challenge, that MTV show. We watched an episode and talked about it. So it's a great show this week, and I hope you enjoy. So here we go.
With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you gotta get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara. You're going to love it.
I want to welcome to the show Jason Waller. Jason, most people remember from Laguna Beach, The Hills, and from a celebrity rehab with Dr. Drew. Jason was notorious on Laguna and The Hills for kind of being a jerk of a boyfriend and later explained to the world that he had been suffering from some serious addiction issues and now happily lives in Southern California, is married, and his wife is pregnant. So Jason, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a true honor.
So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the experience of being on TV. From what I understand, you were away at boarding school when the show began to film in your town, and then you came back home and your family and your friends encouraged you to join the show. So it sounded like you had a little bit of trepidation at first, but kind of came around to the idea of it because it seemed like a great way to document your last year of school.
Correct.
Is that sort of how it happened?
It was. So, yeah, I was away at boarding school, and I was in communication with friends back home. And basically, when I was out there, I'd, you know, gotten calls and stuff saying, hey, you won't believe what's going on. There's, you know, MTV's down here, and they're wanting to do, or they're actually in the process of doing a show. And I was like, I didn't think much of it. Little did I know really what they were going to be doing until I got back, saw the first, you know, it was like in the middle of running. And then, you know, they were getting such good rate, you know, ratings that the producers and stuff were like, well, we need to get new casts. And basically Steven and Kristen and people that I was friends with on the show had ended up reaching out saying, you know, you should talk to them about, you know, or they want to interview you because they know your dynamic with everything. And I said, you know, whatever, I'll do it. And basically ended up talking to them. They found out the structure of what my life was going through, and they're like, oh, yep, you're perfect for it. So, it kind of just took off from there.
So when you joined the show, do you think that they had any sense that you were struggling with addiction issues? Or like, had it shown itself yet before you joined the show, or was kind of like the beginning stages of it?
It was the beginning stages for sure. I mean, because I really wasn't struggling heavily with that until probably towards the end of senior year, which was towards the end of the filming. And I kept it pretty secluded from the filming itself. I mean, there were certain times on there where I was definitely inebriated or under the influence. But I don't think any more so than in other people. Maybe overdid it a couple times for sure. But then it escalated for sure from there.
I guess I think that I went away to boarding school, so I was kind of away from that. But for a normal high school situation, I guess it would seem somewhat normal for kids to be drinking at a party. So do you think that the producers thought maybe this kid's just kind of like the bad boy, he kind of fits that pocket, or that, you know, maybe they did get a sense that it could be an issue?
I honestly believe that during Laguna, I don't think they realized what was really happening, you know, because they were just getting to know me as well. I mean, they got to know me pretty well in that duration of time. excuse me. However, you know, I think that if they knew really what I was going through, they would have been much, you know, they would have supported me in a different element.
Yeah. So for people that watch the show, I remember just thinking, what a strange lifestyle. It seemed like, well, it's funny now because I live in Newport Beach, but this was when I was, you know, younger and lived in the East Coast. But I remember thinking, what in the world? Like, this world is bizarre. I remember you bought Lauren like a Chanel bag for her birthday. And I mean, your wife's pregnant now, and you think, I mean, isn't that weird to you? Or is just that the way everybody was in Laguna Beach? It just seemed like a weird world.
In regards to buying a gift?
A Chanel bag for a high school kid. It's like, oh my God, I just can't even wrap my brain around that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was a false sense of reality. I mean, we were raised right, came from good families, had good morals, but we also became very successful at very young ages.
Right. Right. So I think that's a good point to make. But even before the fame came, do you feel like you lived in a world that there was so much excess already?
I mean, look, I mean, growing up in Southern California, we're in the one percentile of life's economic, you know, social class. You know what I mean? So, I mean, we grew up very privileged, and there's a lot of gratitude and I'm very grateful for everything that we've had. I mean, we grew up privileged. I mean, for sure.
Okay. So you're on the show, and then you begin a relationship with Lauren. And was that just for your family? Must that have been strange to see their son's life on television?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it was new for everybody. I mean, there was no show or anything that ever came out like this, and obviously it was definitely weird. I mean, I don't that's actually a good question. I've never really asked them directly what were their thoughts seeing all this stuff on television, and if I did, honestly, I don't remember. But that's something I would have to ask them. I know they were at first, they were like, this is going to be this could be really cool to have everything, you know, on showing this week to your kids down the road. But little did any of us know what was really going to come of this. You know, I think we had no idea that it was going to become a phenomenon and transition and become an actual form of a career, if you will. You know, I mean, I was going to go play baseball. I was going to go to college. And within a matter of overnight, you know, everything changed.
And you had said that you think that the addiction issues, it almost ignited it by being in this on this show, having all of this success. And then I remember reading that, you know, you basically were paid to go to parties after.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the craziest thing is like 18 years old, you know, most of your friends are looking for fake IDs. And, you know, for us is we were in essence, we were living the dream. I mean, we were paid to party and travel the world. And, you know, we would do so many club appearances. And I mean, all you do is show up, you drink, you hang out for a little while and then you leave. And I mean, that kind of accessibility, it definitely ignited the addiction for sure. But at the end of the day, you know, people always ask me, it's like, would you have done things differently or changed things? You know, in the beginning, I was like, yeah, I would have definitely done things differently, you know, but today my life has really transpired and transformed to who I really am. And I wouldn't change anything. You know, I mean, it's allotted me the future I have right now. And I've found something that I truly love, which I never had. I mean, I had an overinflated ego, underestimated sense of self-worth, and I really was never content with me. And, you know, through going through these variables and stuff of the shows and the rough patches, I was able to find what I love. I mean, at one point I was paid to party, and now I advocate against substance abuse and mental health.
Did you feel like you were trapped, in a sense, being on the show?
I don't think no, not really. I didn't really feel trapped from that. I felt trapped within myself.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, a lot of people want to know if you feel terrible about not letting Lauren go to Paris. I mean, first of all, I'm sure this feels like 75 years ago. But when you look back, let's say you have a son, what would you say to him? I mean, would you? I'm eager to know what you think about as an older man looking back at that experience.
Okay, I think there was a lot of immaturity, a lot of childish behaviors. You know, I mean, looking back, obviously, you know, I wish she would have gone. And I mean, she did end up going later on, and to experience the experience there, you know. But at that time, I was, like I said, I wasn't even who I was. I mean, I was in such depths of addiction, so selfish, self-centered. And only cared about myself because I was so low. I wanted, you know, to attract and have other people feel that way with me. And I didn't know all this stuff. I didn't have the education or knowledge on what I was really going through. And little did I know, I was suffering with a disease, you know, that is a manifestation of your mind. But I would definitely, promote, her going, you know, but at that time I was not in a normal state.
So now that you've been on the show and you know so much about addiction issues, first of all, do you watch reality TV at all?
No, I don't. I think there's so much more to life. I try to get outside as much as possible. I try to surf, skate, snowboard. I find myself, I'll watch TV. Usually it's more of a series show. I caught myself. I'm watching Viking right now, getting caught up. But I don't really watch much TV, let alone reality TV. I just think that it's inundated with negativity.
Well, I was going to ask you, do you think that if you were to look back at that experience, or do you get a sense that there are other people on reality television shows that are also suffering from addiction issues that may or may not be aware of it?
100%. I think a lot of people don't understand actually what addiction is, and they justify themselves on success or what they have to determine whether they have an issue or not. Because you don't have to be getting arrested, you don't have to lose jobs, you don't have to do that. I mean, it's basically anything that takes you out of the balance of context of what you're trying to do to achieve your ultimate goal. If it's taking you away from that, it comes down to balance and boundaries. It's something to look at. It could be working out, it could be work, it could be gambling, it could be sex, it could be alcohol, it could be drugs. I mean, it's anything that takes you out of that context that's taking you away from your ultimate, you know, goal and legacy is the way I like to look at it. I think there's something to look at, but it's stages. You know, I think there's a lot of people that don't understand that addiction is a primary chronic progressive and fatal disease that actually, if it goes untreated, it can kill you. And it can actually take you out. It's like a slow way of suicide. And a lot of people just don't understand that. And it's a disease of denial. It's the only disease that tells you you don't have a disease, and it's the only disease you can get yelled at for having. People still associate it with no, you know, low self-will or, you know, low morals. That's not the case. You know, it's not like I wake up. I mean, there's no such thing as recreational use of heroin. There's no such thing as recreational use of meth. You know, there's – and people can try to justify all they want. But, I mean, even alcohol was a form of medication hundreds of years ago that we've – as society has normalized. So, you know, it's – there's so many different contexts to it. But our society is just – it's – I try to divert away from anything that's out there that they portray as good. I mean, I had – access, I had notoriety, I had, you know, money, I had all these different things, and it drove me to suicide. So
I was so sorry to hear that. That I, you know what, I would like for people, for you to just kind of like walk people through the show ends and then kind of what happened and then where you are now.
Yeah, I mean, the show ended, and I mean, there was other, I mean, I ended up doing some other like spinoff stuff. I did, some people know, some people don't. I ended up doing a show with like Kevin Hart, Warren G, Too Short, Method Man, Ethan Ramirez. We all did this show called Celebrity Rap Superstar, which this show.
Oh, I remember.
That's where my mind was. It was, I mean, doing that, and then you know, after, so Laguna, The Hills, and then ended up doing that show with, which was, it's funny to look back on, but definitely wouldn't do that again. And then, you know, going into Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew, I really went on there to actually try to change the public's perception, the way they perceived me, because I'd gotten a little bit of sobriety time, went in there. And really wanted to gain, you know, knowledge and information from both Drew and Bob. And it worked to my benefit. I mean, after that, I ended up kind of disappearing and, you know, surrendering, taking direction, ended up getting a job in the treatment industry. Not even sure if I wanted to stay sober then. It was just kind of more just doing what was told to me as opposed to me trying to make my decisions, because every time I had, I ended up getting back into those spots where I was either arrested or struggling with something. And lo and behold, it transitioned, and I found, like I said, I connected. I had a foundation and fellowship I was able to get involved with. I found purpose. I started to gain self-worth. You know, and I started working with LA Mission, which is like Kurt and Ann Douglas's nonprofit. You know, it's a nonprofit that helps and houses over 500 homeless people, provides 1,500 meals. Became very heavily involved with them, became part of their honorary board, and actually working really close with them. And this started by action. I ended up getting involved with a ton of different really good organizations, worked really closely with Robert Shapiro and the Brent Shapiro Foundation for his son who OD'd, and on the Entertainment Industry Council's board, and which is like the accurate portrayal of the way addiction or substance abuse is portrayed through media. So I got heavily involved with stuff, and before I knew it, it was kind of like I had had this whole conglomerate, and the Huffington Post asked me to start writing blogs and doing articles, and, you know, because I had a major transformation in my life. And I think that it's for me is like I said, I've kind of gotten steered away from that entertainment industry. And I think from our shows, there's still, you know, notoriety around what we do just because I think our shows had such high success. But at the end of the day, you know, addiction doesn't dictate who I am, but it doesn't justify my actions. So I take ownership in everything that I've gone through. But I wear it like a badge of honor. You know, obviously I wish things – I wouldn't have done – looking back, like I said, I wouldn't change anything because it wouldn't have brought me to where I am. Are there actions and stuff that I did that I wish I didn't do? Of course. But all great change proceeds through chaos, and it's allowed me to be where I'm at today. And I've worked with over a couple thousand people and helped a lot of families, and I've helped get 6-7 of my own family members sober since I got sober. And, you know, it's been an amazing journey. And I'd say at the end of the day, I'm content with where I'm at. If anything were to ever happen, I would say I've lived a full life and, a very successful life.
You met your wife in 2002 or 12 after you became sober?
I met her in 2011.
Okay, so you met your wife, and then you got engaged, and now you guys are expecting a baby.
We're expecting our first new little child, yes.
And do you know the sex yet?
I do. It is a female. It's going to be a little girl.
Are you just flipping out?
At first, I was like, I don't even know what to say for emotion-wise. I was like, of course God's going to give me a girl for everything that I've done. But, you know, at the end of the day, I really wanted a boy in the very beginning. I mean, before we had any of this come up, but as time's gone on, I would rather have a girl than a boy now. So it's crazy. I'm really excited and looking forward to it. And there hasn't been a girl in our family in 39 years. So
oh my gosh,
it's of course I get the blessing of having the girl.
What would your advice be to someone who is going to join a reality show? And that could be somebody who's 20 years old or a 43-year-old woman who lives in the suburbs and is like a housewife.
What are your intentions? What is the purpose of what you're doing? I mean, know why you're going on it. So many people just want fame and notoriety, and at the end of the day, it's not all it's made out to be. I mean, there's a lot of good that can come from it, especially if you can utilize it for the well-being of the right purposes. But I would say a lot of people look at your real intentions. What is it for? Because we're in the midst right now, and I can't say much on it, but about doing a new project, but it's based around recovery. With a pretty well-known production team and company, and they have some of the largest shows out right now. But there's a purpose behind this. I wouldn't do any form of TV unless it was going to educate or bring truth to something.
So, do you think that a lot of people get too caught up in the immediacy of I've got a ton of new followers versus the long end of like, what will I learn from this experience? Will I be able to help people?
Correct.
And how often what would you say is the percentage of people that go into reality TV for the wrong reasons?
90%.
Wow. That's probably true.
Look at the shows out there. I mean, if people can, who am I to judge? I by all means, I'm just giving my insight and direction. I mean, I went into it so blinded with what it was really going to be.
Well, you were also 17 years old. I mean, really.
Very true. Very true. But I also think it's to justify that. I mean, you look at, even people, it's not even being on a reality show anymore. It's about how much, you can become overnight success or famed through Instagram or social media.
Right.
YouTube, different areas. And I saw a post. It was really interesting. It was basically about, don't quote me on this, but it was, to some degree, it stated that there was a kid that was like 13 years old. He's already been accepted to two major universities. He's pursuing engineering. He's pursuing, being a doctor, and then one other format of something that was very impressive. He has little notoriety and maybe a couple fans, and then it's like that 13-year-old that was on Dr. Phil, the girl that's just caused issues everywhere. She's 13 years old, pretty much kind of illiterate, dropped out of seventh grade, and she's got 4 million followers. I mean, mm-hmm. You wonder where it's going to where it's going. I mean, look at what we idolize.
Right. Okay. So, another question I have is whether or not you ever kept in touch with anybody you ever filmed with on the shows.
Yeah, I mean, it was for a while stay in touch pretty regularly. And then as we've gotten older and stuff, I mean, it's not nearly what it used to be. But I mean, we run into people. I mean, I'm back in Orange County now, and I run into a lot of the people that are, everybody still comes back into Laguna and connects. But I think as we've gotten older, everybody's kind of developed their own paths. You know, it's not it's nothing against anybody. It's just I think everybody's kind of grown up and is taking different direction. I mean, I live couple streets down from Alex. I mean, and Lauren still has places in Laguna. Steven still comes down. Actually had interaction with Steven or Stephanie or what's his name, Spencer, the other day for the first time in years. There's no ill will. It's just more of as we've grown up, we've kind of separated.
And you still keep in touch with Dr. Drew?
I talk to him often, yes.
That's great. Okay, so tell everybody, kind of just tell us where they can find you, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys want to look up where I'm at currently and what I'm doing, you can go to jasonwahler.com. That's W-A-H-L-E-R. I guess I should spell the whole thing. Jason, J-A-S-O-N-W-A-H-L-E-R.com to kind of update you on everything that we're doing. And that's kind of like the hub for all the stuff that we have with Widespread Recovery, National Assessment Foundation, with all the treatment conglomerates that we work with, and that's where people can find us.
And where can they find you on social media?
Instagram is at Jason Waller, and then Twitter is at Waller Jason.
Terrific. Well, I want to thank you. I appreciate you taking your time.
No, thank you. This is awesome. I really appreciate what you're doing, and it's cool to let you allow people to speak their mind and, kind of give insight to what they're doing. So appreciate it.
And I want you to know that many people wrote, when I put the picture out and said I would be interviewing, many people said, please let him know. I really appreciate all the work he does.
Well, thank you very much.
That's great. You should feel really good about what you're doing. And I'm really excited to hear about your baby. And I'm just saying, if you want to name the baby Kate, I support that.
Ah, I love it.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way that you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, and they pass the savings on to us. So I just got a 100% organic cotton tiered maxi skirt in red and a chiffon pleated midi skirt in soft pink. Now I'm going to wear both of them with either a white scoop t-shirt or a black tank top. In fact, wait, should we all get the same outfit and meet for drinks? Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/KateCasey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/KateCasey to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/KateCasey.
On the line, I've got Kara Berry. Kara is a pop culture connoisseur, a nap enthusiast, which we can all support. And you can find her unsolicited opinions at Kara B Tweets. She's hilarious. Please welcome Kara.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I just realized my Philadelphia accent is in full effect. Kara. You say Kara, right? You say Kara?
Kara, yeah.
See, I can't even say it. It's so hard for me to say Kara. Kara. It's hard. Anyway. The point is...
Yeah, it's hard for me.
I asked you to watch with me MTV's challenge Invasion of the Champions. So I wanted to talk with you about the episode. The episode we watched was episode 7, so it's the current season. Have you been watching this show or even in the last couple of seasons, have you been watching the show?
No, I've actually never seen the show, but I used to watch The Real World religiously, so I was kind of horrified to see that I recognize people still being on there.
I know. It was weird. It was weird seeing some of them. I thought that Johnny Bananas, they said it's his 14th show. I'm like, are we that old? Yeah. What?
Yeah, I guess so. And I think CT was on his 11th. And
I mean, CT looks old. I mean, I feel
he does.
Some of these contestants,
I had a crush on him as a child.
As a child. Some of these contestants look so young. And then there's like CT and Johnny Bananas and the host TJ, what is it, Lavin? I mean, he's like smoking a cigar and the others kind of like... They've got CT and Johnny Bananas probably practically have on like smoking jackets and are carrying canes with them. It just seems weird that they're still on this show.
I mean, they've got to be on their third and fourth children at this point. I don't understand what it is that they do in their off season or on season, whatever season they actually have jobs in. I don't understand.
So the challenge Invasion of the Champions is the 29th season of MTV's reality game show, The Challenge. The new individual format was filmed in Thailand this season. They filmed it during October and November of last year, and it features alumni from Real World, Road Worlds, Spring Break Challenge, which I was not familiar with, Fresh Meat 2, and Are You the One competitions. And they're supposed to go through a series of challenges. And here's another question I have watching is like, do you think that some of these contestants are on steroids? And by that, I'm including the women.
Oh, 100%. I think they're all medicated in some way, whether it be alcohol, pills, steroids. I mean, you have to be, right? You have to be to still be doing this.
Well, I kind of get scared of that girl, Cara Maria. Her hair looks like a witch's nest. I don't know how she still has hair on her head. But she has this look in her eyes like she... Someone even had said on this episode that she eats raw chicken, and I do believe that. I believe she's like one of those people that drinks raw eggs out of a cup.
Oh, 100%. She looks like a WWE diva. Is that what they're called?
She does. Yeah, she does.
Yeah, female wrestler.
And then there's another
in a good way.
There's another girl there
whose body just scares me. She is so ripped, and she's got tattoos all over her torso. But she looks like a librarian, so it's really sort of scary. I'm not sure of her name, but all I know is that
I think her name might be Nicole.
That sounds right.
She's got a very heavy Boston accent.
Yeah, so she's pretty scary. So basically on this episode, it starts off, there's a rumor that Jenna hooked up with Bruno on the plane over, and they said, they bleeped it out, but they basically said she was finger blasted, which is just gross to hear. They claim that it happened on the plane over, and she was really upset about it because she still had feelings for Zach, and Zach's still on the show. Here's my question. When someone reacts that way, when she's sobbing in a bed and she's so concerned that it won't work out with Zach because of this rumor, don't you think it's kind of true?
It was incredibly telling to me. She was crying for like days, it seemed like. And I just didn't understand why she wouldn't just tell him that it was stupid and not true. I don't know why you would agonize over something like that.
It's so weird. Much.
And Zach is like one of those guys from Monsters from what is that movie with Michael Jordan and Space Jam. He's huge. He is so big.
He is,
or maybe everybody else is so small.
He sort of looks like Lisa Bonet's ex-husband Jason Momoa, or maybe they're still married. Yes. But he's hot in a way that I get it. Like you want to have sex with him, but I don't feel like he would be someone who would have like a retirement savings plan. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not getting a sense.
I don't even think he has fitted sheets.
I don't think so either. No. No. So for her to be so upset about it, it's a little bit strange. I interviewed someone many, many episodes ago that had been on Road Rules, and they had said that during the time of filming, it was like one of those challenges, that there were people in the beginning of the show that showed up, but there was one person they knew was really high, and then they sort of do the challenges, and then they have like a day off, and then they do the interviews. And during the interview portion, that person just disappeared. So there was somebody who was on the challenge who was on drugs, and then they had to like film around it, the fact that this person had started off with the show but was on drugs. So I wonder, all these years later, if people are still on drugs, because they're stuck on this island for probably weeks. Well, it says 2 months, and they have nothing to do. They can't watch TV. They can't read books. They can't listen to music. So, and they all look like hopped up on something. So do you think the percentage, what do you think the percentage is of people that are probably on something?
Oh, 70. Probably 70%. I'm probably lowballing it, honestly. I have to imagine, because I think Zach mentioned that guy that passed away a couple years ago, and I wonder if maybe that's who you're talking about.
Oh, that was sad.
Yeah. But and maybe that was a wake-up call for everybody.
And then some of them are parents. Daryl, I can't say the name Daryl because I always think of Darrell. Like it doesn't seem like Daryl. It's such a strange name. So he was on his fourth challenge.
I think he actually does pronounce it Darrell.
Darrell. Okay, yeah. That kind of makes sense to me. Yeah. So he mentioned that he has a couple kids. I'm like, you left your kids for months. It's like how I feel about the contestants on The Bachelor. Like you left them and you're in Thailand with all these people that are just wasted. Okay, that makes sense. He said at the end of the episode that he wanted to win for money because he wanted to buy himself a camper, which is a strange way to spend the money that you've just made. But I never get a sense from these shows that they're really making all that much money, because I feel like MTV probably lowballs anyway. And then they've got to share it with a bunch of people. It can't be that much money.
Yeah, I was shocked to find out that their prize for winning a challenge was only $10,000 to be distributed amongst like the seven of them. So I don't like, how much are they getting paid to just even be there? They have to be getting some sort of actor's fee, as I would imagine, but it doesn't seem worth it.
No,
in the long run.
Darrell's going to buy a camper. I feel like Cara Maria might pay for like some hair extensions. There's not like a lot of money going on here. And the other thing is, you're being videotaped the whole time, so everybody knows who's like having sex. There was like one couple, and they, first of all, they're sleeping in bunk beds. Again, this is like The Bachelor, and they're being filmed having sex. That's mortifying, I'm sure. There's another guy on the cast. They said his name was Hunter, and all the girls think he's so hot, but he may have 4 brain cells. He does not seem like the smartest guy. He's like a total hick. So that's confusing to me.
Again, they should really call the show Arrested Development, because it's like a camp for these adults. And I don't know. This is like the bottom of the barrel reality stars that are trying to scrape their way to any sort of recognition, and relevant, sad thing to watch, to be honest.
So do you think that you'll watch more episodes?
Maybe, because I know that since I recognize people, and I like to feel better by putting other people down, so that's one of my things. But I think it would be a good, I would recommend it.
I'll think about it. I'm not sure yet. I'm enthralled by the number of men that wear headbands on the show. I'm interested in whether or not some of the women will have some sort of breakdown of the body, or that their steroid use will come into play. I'm not sure, but it's a possibility. It's not high.
Right. I actually think I might. I think I might. Just, it's only to rekindle my flame for CT.
CT. Oh. Ever since his old girlfriend died, DM, I just feel like, oh, yeah. So sad.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he's got a new girlfriend and a child now, so maybe things are looking up for him.
I have to say, I'm still scared of him. Like, I wouldn't want to be in an alley with him.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
So tell everybody how they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Kara B Tweets. I'm Kara with a K.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Okay, bye.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. If you're looking for new style inspiration, Saks.com is the place to go. Saks.com is making it easy for me to shop for the spring with their selection of chic clothes and accessories. Right now, I'm looking at Saks.com so I can find my new going out vibe. I'm looking for a breezy Zimmermann dress for an evening cocktail party. And for my upcoming conference in Los Angeles, I'm looking at bright Chloe blazers because I'm pushing myself to wear more orange and pink. Saks.com will inspire you to shop for everything on your agenda. So find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Heather McDonald is not only a great friend, but she's the person you can call at 9:45 at night and just to vent about Dancing with the Stars and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Welcome, Heather McDonald.
Hello.
Okay, let's get into it. Dancing with the Stars. Have you ever been in this show, by the way?
Yes, I have. I've been in the audience about 5 years ago. I can't even remember who the people were, but a friend took me.
I went about 8 years ago when Christy Yamaguchi performed.
I really thought I would have been on it by now. Like, if you would have asked me 8 years ago, Heather, where you see yourself in 8 years, I would have said I would have been on Dancing with the Stars at year 6. Like, Now I don't even know. Now I don't even know if I want to do it anymore.
Why?
Because they haven't asked me yet, and I'm annoyed. But here's the deal. First of all, everyone's thin. Usually they have one person who is a little heavier because they like to see them lose weight drastically over the course of the season. So I was surprised by that. Also, all the females have some strong athletic or dance background. You've got a gymnast. You have Carrie, the ice skater. You have Erica Girardi, Erica Jane. You have Charo. You have the Heather from Glee. There isn't like one, like all the girls are good, which I thought was kind of weird. And then when she did her dance, they gave her 6s, and I thought, they're kind of giving her a little bit lower score than she deserves because they know that the audience at home will never let her lose. So they have to balance it out with tougher scores. That's what I personally think.
I think she was a terrible dancer and that played into it, though. She's not a good ballroom dancer. She's just not. No.
But I also want to say I'm very impressed that she finally made those nude caricatures. What do you call it? Like, the, you know, the dancing character shoes that you have to do. Everyone has to wear those same ugly shoes. She made hers work. She dyed them red. She had one of her guys, obviously, do it and make it work with the boots. And I thought that was pretty great. Do you think that costume people at Dancing with the Stars are feeling a little like their power's been usurped by her glam team?
Because
you know she's like, oh, no, darling. I don't need the Dancing with the Stars wardrobe people. I've got my own team.
I absolutely believe so. And I do notice that her spray tan is not as thick as the others. So they're clearly in charge of that as well.
I also feel like her makeup was not as, you know, I always was so disturbed by the intense heavy makeup of Dancing with the Stars. She wears so much makeup all the time that it wasn't even extra for the big event.
Right. All right, let's go from the top and just talk about the other people before we get into her. So Chris Kattan looks like he's on drugs. Is there something wrong with him?
Yes.
Okay.
There is something that happened to him.
What?
I'm not sure, but I want to say there was. I remember like Michael McDonald, who is a groundling friend of mine, who's a writer and actor director, who was in like Chris Kattan's round of the groundlings. We talked about him, and because we were both all in San Francisco the same weekend performing at different clubs on different nights. And I saw Chris Kattan, he was perfectly nice, but I felt like something was off. And he said, yeah, something happened. Like, I don't know if he got in an accident or are you looking up something?
No.
Oh, it says he broke his neck and has a 20-year health battle. What does it say, Nikki? Just read it. We're looking it up. We're so on it.
He spent the last 20 years recovering from breaking his neck. I broke my neck and had 4 surgeries regarding that the last 20 years. One in my back, one in my throat.
Yes. Oh. And there was something weird around his figure. Was it from him doing the monkey and everything?
The injury was the Mr. P. It was the result of a stunt thing, but he declined to share any more details. I can't get into it.
Okay. He was wasted or on pills and he fell somewhere. Why is he on the show? This is stupid.
Okay. Either he was wasted and on pills or fell somewhere, or he was doing a bit and he did sue. And part of his settlement is that he can't say, you know, I was at NBC Studios doing a bit.
It's dumb. Okay. David Ross is a baseball player. Why is he on the show? He has no rhythm. This is stupid.
He's the Cub player?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he got 7s.
I don't know why. That's a joke.
Well, because I'm telling you, they are helping the people that can't dance by giving them higher scores and lowering the scores of the people that have huge social media followings.
I guess. Okay, the girl from Fifth Harmony who's dancing with Max's brother, I think they might have sex before it's over. That was a very sexual dance, and so was the Sharna and the Bull Rider. The Bull Rider, by the way, I would have sex with him too. He's pretty hot.
A lot of people have sex with their partners, whether you're an ice skating celebrity or a dancing celebrity, and I have I know confirmed cases on both.
Interesting. Okay. Nancy Kerrigan felt like she was boring. What were your thoughts?
I agree. You know, I'll never forget when she went to Disneyland and was like, this is the lamest thing? Or
yes, on the float. Yep.
I want to say she said it was the geekiest thing, or I want to shoot myself or something. Ever since then, I think America turned on her, and I don't think they're coming back.
I think you're right. Charo, is this an act or is she really a mental case?
She's been acting like that since she guest starred on a Love Boat 35 years ago. Is she 80? How old is she? Can you look her up, Nikki? I'm going to say she's 78.
Okay.
That's my prediction. I'm pretty good at age guessing when it comes to celebrities. I have had a subscription to People magazine since I was 6. And they always give everyone's age. So I have I have a little bit of like a Rain Man about celebrity ages. Please find out her age. I know it's 7. Please let it be 78.
Well, her birthday's been adjusted.
Oh, of course it has. Of course it has.
It was adjusted from 1963 to 1951.
Okay, well, then it's 1951 that she was born. So how old does that make her?
Okay. That I have to write out.
I'm going to say that's in the 79 range.
No, it's not.
It has to be.
She's older than that. Okay. 2017
minus 66.
No, she's got to be older than 66.
Unless I'm not doing my math right.
No, I think she's lying about the 51.
Yes. 66.
I think she was born in 1941.
You know what? I think you're probably right.
There is no way she is under 70. There is no freaking way.
Yeah.
Listen, I know the guy, don't mean to brag, that played the doctor on Love Boat. Bernie.
Oh, I love him. He's so sweet.
And he is definitely in his 80s. And when you think about the show, she wasn't like a 25-year-old guest starring. She was like a 38-year-old guest starring on that show.
Yeah, it's a whole conspiracy about her birthday.
Okay, what's a conspiracy?
It says her Spanish passport has a birth date as March 13th, 1941.
Wow.
How old does that make her?
But then after
41, that makes her 76.
But then after immigrating to the United States, she claimed she was born in 47.
Well, of course she did.
Then she changed it to 1949.
And then she changed
it. And then on her passport, she put 51.
Oh, my God. Okay,
How do you do that?
Do you know the only other person I know that did this, Kate? It's a Juicy Scoop exclusive.
Okay.
My grandmother. She came over Cork, Ireland. At the very old age of 29 in 1918 or something, okay? Came over on the boat to Ellis Island. And you walk in and they're like, what's your name and age? Write it on this card and this is your ID. And she was like, well, I'm not writing 29 down. I mean, a woman not married at 29 in 10 or whatever. So she put 19. Met her husband, who was a firefighter, and not until she died in her late 90s did my dad and his sisters know how old she was. They thought she died at like 88 and she was 98.
That's incredible. That's like something Zeta Jones would pull off. That's pretty good.
It's really good. But what also made me concerned is that it meant that she didn't have my dad and his sister in her mid-30s. She had him in her mid-40s. So I still might have like one of those old Irish eggs hanging on for dear life.
Oh, I hope you do. That would be great. We could have babies together.
Okay, go to the next person.
Okay, Rashad and Emma. I think he's a football player or something. He's fine. Okay, Mr. T, is he still wearing camo? He looked really old, and so did his dance partner.
Can I just tell you, I have another exclusive about Mr. T that I just thought of.
Okay.
A Scoop exclusive.
Okay.
You know how I'm obsessed with hooker stories.
Absolutely. No one is more obsessed.
I had someone write to me as Jane Doe, who was a experienced L.A. call girl from the 80s and the 90s. And I actually talked to her on the phone for like an hour. And she just kept talking about how she was the long-term girlfriend of Mr. T for many years. And she kept saying, I mean, you can imagine what it was like when you're dating Mr. T. I'm like, I really can't. Like, cool? And she's like, I mean, you'd walk into a room, you know, and you're Mr. T's girlfriend. And I thought we'd get married. And he just, you know, he just had to pursue his career. And I wanted to have his babies and everything. Anyway, I guess she started out as his client. They became kind of where she didn't charge him. Then he broke her heart. And then now she's just a webcam girl.
Oh my God. Do you think like when they made out that he wore all those chains? Like, was he just naked, like covered in necklaces?
I have her number still. I could ask her. I wonder if she's watching Dancing with the Stars.
That would be a good question for her.
Heartbroken by him. Okay, who's next?
Also, I just thought it was so dumb how they opened the number and he jumped out of a van. It's like, okay, we got it.
I thought it was totally clever. You're a negative, Millie. That
I
was
totally clever. Am.
that everyone else came out of limos and he came out of the A-team van. Where is your sense of nostalgia?
Okay, so the other one, obviously the gymnast, Simone Biles, is going to win. She's the most likable, and she's, like, unbelievable dancer already. What did you think about Nick?
I don't know. It was fine.
I think that I hate his personality, but, of course, you know my obsession with the Andy Dorfman book. I'd still have sex with him. I think he's
Somebody wrote me that he's got some big beef or somebody with somebody named Shatner.
William Shatner from Star Trek. He was
William Shatner? What's going on with them?
He was tweeting, kick Nick off the show. He doesn't belong. Like, he got really upset about it. He did about 6 tweets about Nick. And someone said, what is your beef with him? And he said, go William Shatner, age 84. Go back and watch the Andy Dorfman series, and then you'll know what I'm talking about. He's invested.
Is this the real William Shatner?
100%. Like, yep.
Does he have a granddaughter that may have, like, taken over his phone? This seems very suspect.
No, because wasn't he on the show before? He's really invested.
Oh, maybe you're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so the last part of that is the Erica Jane. What did you think about her package where she told the dance instructor that if they won, she'd give him a Lamborghini?
Well, I can. Wait, what's the problem, baby? Why can't I give my dance instructor a Lamborghini? He deserves it.
Here's my problem with her. I think that she's moved from confident to obnoxious. Like, we don't need to hear that you can buy a Lamborghini. I'm fabulous. I'm a million-dollar diamond girl. We get it. Like, it's a little bit too much.
No, I didn't. What did she say? I'm a double diamond or something? That was weird.
I'm a million diamond girl. Everyone knows. Everyone knows. Where's Tom? I didn't see her husband in any of this.
No, I did not see her husband. Well, you know what? He's in court, baby. He couldn't make it. We're busy people. He's getting billions for people who deserve it. And giving part of it to me. It's expensive to me.
So then let's move into Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which was a great episode last night. Part of their Hong Kong trip. What do you think about Erica's outfits in Hong Kong?
Awful. I don't know if that's the same wardrobe person that's doing her Dancing with the Stars. I don't agree with dressing like, you know, an old Asian woman working at, you know, a Chinese restaurant. What, it's Erica Jane. She was wearing, like, you know, non-fitting pants and these button-down tops, and I didn't like it at all.
I felt like her glam squad was like, you know what would be fun? Let's stick chopsticks in her hair. It's so cheesy. I don't know. And too much makeup.
Way too much. Drake's like, is she a clown?
lots of silk pajamas and dresses. It was a little bit too much for me. So in this episode, it turns out that she's not a robot, that she actually does cry. Is this an authentic part of her persona? Like, is this an authentic part of her that she's finally showing? Or is this self-editing? She wants to show herself as someone who actually is a human being.
I think they go on these trips. I think that they're sleep deprived, and I think she's unraveling. And I did think she took the opportunity to just act like she was Mother of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves a police officer and appreciates what it must be like to be married or be the mother of one. So, you know, I don't know how calculating it was, but I think once you just get on that, you know, she just got on a train and didn't let it stop. Because, I mean, poor Eileen. I mean, come on.
I know.
I have to say, you know, come on. That wasn't even how you make it, you know, about when she's like, hey, it's not like she killed a kid. Don't you fucking talk about my kid. You don't know what I go through every night.
But remember, Tara Klein said weeks and weeks and weeks ago, I bet you when she's in, like when they did the teaser, she said, I bet you it's going to be about her son being a cop. She was right.
We're giving credit to Tara Klein on that.
I thought she's the one who said it. Did you say it?
Maybe she told me and then I said it and I took credit for it. But I don't know that I want to give credit to Tara.
Okay. But you know what? It was right. So it wasn't about her husband and what she goes through. However, would you agree that that moment where she was falling apart because of jet lag, you kind of had a window into her marriage because she's so controlled. And this whole thing about Dory exposing that she may have not worn underwear, she became unraveled about it. I felt like she was really, like, paranoid about how Tom would react to this whole story. More so than normal people would. Would you agree?
Well, now I last night when we were talking, I said, yeah, I get it. Like, ugh. I said, you know, when you've done something and you have the kind of marriage where your husband brings it up and brings it up and brings it up again, which I have, I would be like, oh, God, you know. But in my particular case, if I hadn't worn underwear and shown my puss to PK, Peter's so not jealous. I don't even think that would have bothered him. Now, if going to the party, I scraped the tire against a curb, that would be brought up for the next 4 years. Right. But the fact that my vagina was talked about, I don't even think he would care. So maybe it's sort of sexy that her husband cares that much. Now I'm going back. Now I'm going, well, it is pretty bad. Look, I think she regrets that the gay guy from her wardrobe or whatever told her, oh, honey, just take those underwears off. You've got a perfectly waxed vajayjay. I've seen it. It's adorable. No one's going to see it. You're right, baby. I'm not going to wear my underwear. So she's mad at herself for making that decision in the first place because it is pretty gross to go out. The only time I've ever gone underwearless is when I've had literally like a maxi dress to the ground. And it's been a hot summer night, and I just wanted my vagina to breathe. There is no way anyone but an aunt could have seen my vagina.
Right.
Certainly not when I wear a thigh high, you know. Like, I even have Spanx that have a split in the crotch where you can pee. It's like scuba diving.
Gross.
And I won't wear that if I feel.
What? Oh, wait. This is so weird to me. What do you open? Like, you pull the fabric open and pee?
Yes. It's like, it's covered. It's covered. But you can take your fingers in it and put your vagina out of it and pee rather than you taking off your dress, taking off your entire thing that goes around your bra. So because I have that, there's sometimes where I wear it with a short dress and I'm like, you know what? This dress is too short to wear that. God forbid that thing opens up a little bit.
Oh my God. I'm getting that for my friend for her birthday. That's amazing.
It's amazing. I'll, you know, it's pretty great. They're hard to find. I don't even think Spanx makes it. It's a different brand.
I still think that there's a part of her marriage that she, like, if she gets a phone call from him, like, I feel like the staff at the home are like, we got Mr. Girardi on line one, that she shits herself a little bit. I think she's like a little bit afraid. And you know what? If you're not a slutty person and someone is insinuating that you were slutty, you would just laugh it off. Like, my husband knows I'm not slutty. Like, I barely show my boobs in a dress. So you'd be like, just blow it off. But she took it a little bit too far. So I wonder what it's like behind closed doors. I stand by that. What do you think about Rinna saying the comment about asking Dorit whether or not there was cocaine at the dinner party?
Oh, I think she was like, you know, had that one in her sequins jacket from the night before and was ready to whip it out. And, you know, she's like, I got to leave. I got to go to QVC. But before I go, let me drop this bombshell on you. And
I don't know. Is that still like, would a bunch of 50-year-olds do coke at a party? Is that something that they would do? I don't know.
Here's the thing. I, being someone that's never tried cocaine in my life, when you don't do the cocaine, the people that do the cocaine really keep it from you because they're like kind of ashamed. So if you're not part of it, there's a good chance you'll never see it. You won't be invited to the upstairs bathroom. You know, you won't see what's in it.
You're not going to go to the mirrored dining room table. But then
you're left with a weird old publicist in the corner.
I was going to say, what did you think about that guy left over? So he just doesn't do coke then.
I don't think they bothered to share with him. Listen, I don't know if they did it or not. And if they were to do it, would they really want to be doing it on like the second day that she filmed?
That's a good point. Great point.
Like, I don't know. And so,
I don't. I think it's a perfect. I think it's the kind of thing. Someone could, like, what if somebody said that to me? Like, come on, Heather, at your pool party, you went into your bathroom, you know, and I was like, I was doing touching up my makeup. Oh, please. Like, imagine if I was in the house. Like, oh, please, Heather, you want to know why those ankles are so skinny? She's been doing lines of coke for 40.
Well, if somebody went to a pool party at your house and then all of a sudden all of your kids, all of your friends and your relatives all went into one small bathroom together, it would be a little suspect.
But then she didn't say that. She just said they all got up from the table.
Good point.
At the same time.
I don't know what to tell you, but I thought it was juicy, and I'm sort of into the story.
I'm sure they've done it, but I don't know, and I think it was really a lack of proof to throw it at someone.
Right. Okay, here's my last question for you about that episode. Why was Eden wearing that weird wig?
Because she's in Hong Kong and she just thought it would be fun to mock the hair of the people that live there.
It's weird, right? Like, what are you doing? And I noticed that you pointed out that she was like laying on her stomach, like it was like a recreation of that scene on the bedroom of Grease.
Yes,
it's totally weird.
Look at me, I'm Sandra D.
Weird. Yeah. All right, well, thank you. Love your face.
Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes that you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, and even on the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
The amazing Kate Casey.
I want to thank my guests this week, Jason Waller, Kara Berry, and Heather McDonald. I want to remind you to subscribe to the show and leave a 5-star review. You can find me on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Wondery app. You can go to my website at loveandknuckles.com. I write recaps all week long, and I've got a ton of really funny parenting articles. You can find me on Twitter at Kate Casey. I love to tweet during shows. Facebook, Love and Knuckles. It's a really funny page. I post stuff every day, and there's so many funny people that comment. You can find me on Instagram at Kate Casey CA. You can see a little bit about my life and my kids, and my Love and Knuckles Snapchat. And most of all, I wish you guys all a great week.
Listen to the 48 Hours podcast for shocking murder cases and compelling real-life dramas from one of television's most watched true crime shows. Go behind the scenes of each episode with award-winning CBS News correspondents and producers in Postmortem, a weekly deep dive. Listen to 48 Hours wherever you get your podcasts.